If you want to bury a story, avoid scrutiny, what you do is you release it at 5:30 on a Friday afternoon when many journalists have gone home for the day or the weekend and hope that nobody notices. There might, in infrequent occasions, be other reasons for doing it, but mostly it's about taking out the trash. And it seems, on the face of it, that's what the Environment Protection Authority in Tasmania did last week, announcing their approval of Tassal's proposal to catch fish poo in giant tarpaulins that'll be rigged to the bottom of their pens in Macquarie Harbour. That approval is critical for the short and medium term profitability of the company. So why did the EPA do it? Wes Ford is the head of that organisation. He joins us this morning. Wes Ford, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Wes Ford, Friday afternoon, 5:30 p.m. It looks like you were trying to avoid scrutiny on this issue. Why did you do it?
Leon, the timing around this was always going to be very tight. You need to remember, my four-week trial expired yesterday, and I needed to deal with this last week. I was working with Tassal during last week to try and finalise what my decision was going to be. I invited Huon and Pachuna to comment on the draft documents on Wednesday, and I gave them till 6 o'clock on Thursday night to provide responses to me. Both companies provided responses, and that was some constructive input into the process, and I included that in the documentation.
It doesn't feel like it was constructive.
Sorry, Leon.
It doesn't feel like it was constructive for Huon.
Leon, I need you to let me finish, please. Sorry, Leon. In terms of Friday, I needed to then work through the documentation. I needed to be able to prepare the legal instruments, and I needed to be able to put it out in a time frame that allowed the decision to occur on Friday. The fact that that was 5:30 was the time it took.
So why not at the same time announce that there'll be a press conference where you'll actually answer questions on the decision, say Monday morning, because you knew it would be controversial?
Leon, this has now been going on for about 6 months or something. You were present at the last press conference I gave, which I spoke for about half an hour on, and then you and I sat down for an hour afterwards and went through many of the issues. The reality is I'm not going to give a press conference every time I make a decision. There's information out there. It's on the website, and I'm more than happy to talk to people about it. In fact, ABC contacted me on Friday night at 8:30, and I recorded an interview with your online journalist then. So.
That press conference was chock-a-block back on the 5th of May. You could tell by the number of people that had attended it how much interest this would be of. And yet no press conference the second time around, just a 5:30 Friday release of the information.
Well, that's just the way things played out this time around, Leon.
You announced this as Tassal's only option back on May 5 if they wanted to breach the new limits you'd set for Macquarie Harbour. You're telling us that they've invented a global first technology, designed it, manufactured it, deployed it in one of the wildest environments in the world, and tested it for engineering and scientific performance, all to your satisfaction, over the last 60 days.
Leon, it's not a world first. This concept's been floating around for a long time. The challenge others have been able to make it work. Tassal set about a design process that has been able to effectively collect the fish waste from under the pens, and they've been able to effectively extract the waste. Based on that, I'm satisfied that we can then move to full approval. This trial was only for 4 weeks, and it only provided three pens that were the waste was captured from.
Where is the independent evidence that these tarps actually work?
Can you define independent evidence, please?
Yeah, as in evidence that comes from somebody other than Tassal, the company with, if not an existential need for it to work, certainly a massive financial imperative for it to do so. Where is the independent assessment that what they say these extraction methods are doing are actually happening?
Well, Leon, I was on site on Friday the previous week. I witnessed firsthand the extraction of the waste from one of the liners and the removal of it. That was well reported on ABC on the Friday afternoon when I was there.
But that is not one person's eyewitness account, is not a scientific assessment. Is there independent verification of what Tassal say these catches are doing?
Leon, as I say, I was on site on, and I was satisfied the waste collection systems were going to work. It's too early going to determine what's going to happen in relation to the impact on the bottom, because the bottom, the seafloor, is not going to change for a number of months. You won't see a response from these collection systems in a matter of weeks on the seafloor itself. So if that's what you're referring to, that work hasn't been done yet.
But in terms of the actual catching and then the pumping out and then the removal of this waste, the independent evidence, apart from Tassal say-so, is your visual assessment of what you saw on Macquarie Harbour in the last week.
That's correct.
Will you be getting it independently assessed?
Why would I have it independently assessed? I value my own judgments as this part of the process, Leon.
Because in a month or two, you might have two other fish producers on Macquarie Harbour coming to you and saying they'd like to do the same thing.
Absolutely, and if they choose to do so, I'm more than willing to have discussions with them about it. We now have a template approach, in, which if they follow the same approach as Tassal or a similar approach, then I'd be happy to approve that as well.
Tassal say they've put an additive, Wes Ford, into the fish food to make the poo from the salmon harder, more catchable. What is that additive?
There's a chemical binder in the seafood that just allows the fecal material to stick together a little bit better. Look, I don't know what that material is, but the reality is whatever they put into fish feed needs to be appropriate for fish feed.
One would think it would need to be scientifically approved for use in Macquarie Harbour. Has it been approved for use in Macquarie Harbour?
None of the formulas or the fish feeds are approved in any locations, Leon. We don't go to that level of detail anywhere in Tasmania, and I'm not sure anywhere in the world do the formula of fish feeds get approved in particular areas.
Let's talk about what the consequence of this approval from your agency is for Tassal. They'll now be able to stock fish in the Macquarie Harbour pens at, what, effectively triple the density you've said is the hectare limit at other sites.
No, Leon, they can stock at 28 tonnes per hectare and the harbour-wide biomass is 13 tonnes per hectare.
And in your recent determination, you said they could move what was allocated to them from their dead lease, the Franklin lease, over to their other two operational sites as well?
The long practice for the allocation arrangements in Macquarie Harbour has been on a lease-wide, or the total lease area for 925 hectares. That was the area of management agreement signed by the three companies when the planning process commenced. The actual allocation of tonnes per hectare itself is not specific to any one lease.
But this 28 tonnes per hectare is the limit, and then they'll be able to put their Franklin fish in on top of that. Is that not how it will work?
There are no fish on the Franklin lease, Leon.
They'll be able to put their allocation from the Franklin lease on top of the 28 tonnes per hectare in the other two remaining lease areas?
Yes, and that's how the practice in relation to allocation has occurred on the previous two biomass determinations.
And that would take them to triple the per hectare tonnage as to what the other operators will be running at in Macquarie Harbour?
It will take them to somewhere under 40 or somewhere under 50 tonnes per hectare in January. Yes, that's correct, but that itself isn't an issue that's been provided for in the marine farm development plan.
Well, hang on. A moment ago you said it would be 28 tonnes a hectare. Now you're confirming it will take them to 50 tonnes per hectare up until January or possibly even a little further.
Leon, it depends entirely how you view the numbers, because the allocation is based on an area-wide harbour management process. It doesn't determine how you can use your leases.
Wes Ford, how are the dissolved oxygen levels in Macquarie Harbour today?
I haven't seen the figures today, Leon, but when I looked at the figures over the course of a couple of weeks ago when I last looked at the real-time data, the mid-water dissolved oxygen remains very low and remains of a concern. There have been recharges in the deep water oxygen and some of those seem to be backing off a little bit at the moment. So the oxygen levels in the harbour remain something of a concern and remain something that we all have to look at.
Am I right from my look at the figures that, in fact, that they're worse than this time next year, those midwater dissolved oxygen, rather than this time last year, those midwater dissolved oxygen levels?
The midwater oxygen seems to be a bit lower than it was this time last year, but this time last year we're also having the major floods occurring in the west coast as well, so the environment is very different at the moment than it was last year as well. But you're right, we need to continue to look at those midwater oxygen levels.
Would it be a mistake? I mean, is there a risk that the people aren't trying to analyse this would get too distracted by what's happening at the bottom of the fish pens, you know, the dead bottom at the Franklin Lease and so on, when in fact it's the actual fish numbers that are causing the decline to the extent that fish farming is in dissolved oxygen levels in Macquarie Harbour?
The decline in the midwater oxygen levels, the number of fish is one component of what's happening in the harbour-wide situation, for which when the work was done by the scientists, it's estimated that the pelagic oxygen demand is around about 25% attributed to the salmon industry, and that was based on about 18,000 tonnes of fish in the harbour. So these additional 4,000 tonnes of fish that TASAL will hold will account for probably 5 or 6% of the actual oxygen demand. The reality, Leon, will be that if midwater oxygen is a problem for the whole industry, then maybe the number needs to be significantly less than 12,000 in years to come.
And you'll be considering that on the science that you see in the lead up to the end of this year?
I will be continually monitoring the science and making determinations around what happens in the coming years. At the moment, I believe 12,000 is appropriate, but as further science comes in over the coming years, I'll make further determinations about what the level should be in the longer term.
It'd be interesting, challenging for you then if both the other two operators there, Huon and Petuno, came and said, we'd like to roll out these fish poo-catching devices and significantly ramp up our tonnage per hectare, wouldn't it?
At the moment, there's no authority for them to allow them to increase the tonnage per hectare. You need to remember, the decision for TASAL applies to the 2016 year class fish that are currently in the harbour. There's nothing that Huon or Petuna can do to increase the quantity of 2016 year class fish other than putting some waste capture fish in systems in to allow some additional fish to go through that are already in the harbour.
TASAL rightly point out that of all of the fish farming operators in Tasmania, they have aquaculture stewardship certification for their product. Can you confirm that that has now lapsed in Macquarie Harbour and that an extended period of time is being sought to gather the information that would be needed to recertify their operations there?
Certainly they don't have Aquaculture Stewardship Council certification for the Franklin lease, which is closed and destocked. I believe that the process is still ongoing for the other two leases. I haven't heard a final determination yet. Now, as we're all aware, the Aquaculture Stewardship Council put its report out, effectively a show cause exercise to TASAL some weeks ago, and I haven't yet heard a final conclusion on that.
They need extra time to gather the science, my understanding is, from the harbour at the moment, some of which you'll be providing to them through your monitoring.
Correct.
How long is that expected to take?
My understanding, I think they were given some 2 months or something in order to respond to those that report, so I assume it's fairly imminent.
On other matters this morning, I should say Wes Ford's our guest this morning, the Environment Protection Authority head. Your decision to test the air quality around the Hobart port when cruise ships come in, can you talk about how that will work? We've talked on mornings before about the burning of bunker fuel, the fact that it happens in some places in the world but it's been banned in, I think, Europe, in the United States and now in Sydney. You'll be testing what happens to the air when cruise ships burn bunker fuel in Hobart.
Yes, that's correct, Leon. The initial request to install testing equipment came from the Mayor, Mayor Sue Hickey, with a concern about the increasing use of Hobart as a cruise ship port and also seeing what Sydney did in relation to imposing restrictions there. So as part of that process, we've installed equipment to measure sulfur dioxide and the oxides of nitrogen in the Hobart port area. That equipment is now operational. We needed to effectively let the cruise ship season finish to get the equipment up and running and installed and tested so that it's operational for the next cruise ship season. At the moment, the purpose of the monitoring is actually to see even what the level of problem in Hobart actually is. Your listeners may be aware that the sulfur emissions are regulated internationally through the marine pollution regulations, and there are proposed changes that will reduce the sulfur emissions from 3.5% to 0.5% in 2020. So this will give us good baseline information to actually see what we can detect over this summer and then see how it changes in the future.
Okay, but it's possible it could lead to telling cruise ships that, as in Sydney Port, they might have to burn a cleaner fuel when they're generating electricity at anchor.
Look, at this stage, I understand, Leon, the government's position has been that it'll work with the federal government and the changes that occur nationally and internationally. However, should the government determine that it's appropriate to regulate in Tasmania, then it's up to them to set the regulations in place.
Thanks for coming on this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Leon.
Westford Environment Protection Authority. On mornings, you can join us too, 1300